Lord, we come to you this morning and we thank you, Holy God, for this day. We know this is a day when we're reminded of your grace and your mercy, but also of your great power, Lord, to raise our Lord Jesus from the dead. Lord, we thank you that we know that that same power is at work in us because your word teaches us that it is. Lord, we just want to come before you this morning and lift up your name and worship you, bow the knee of our hearts before you. Lord, we thank you that you have called us by name to be your people. Lord, we are the sheep of your pasture, and you are our great shepherd. Lord, we just want to praise you and honor you and give you thanks today, for you're a great God. Lord, sometimes we forget how great you are, but Lord, you are almighty. Lord, there is nothing that is too difficult for you. Lord, the things that we look at and say, well, that's the end, it's impossible. Lord, you just fix those things. Lord, you just reach down and make them all new again. Because you're God, and you're able, and you're compassionate, and you care. And Lord, you know the hurts of our hearts. Lord, you know the problems in our lives. Lord, you know the weaknesses in our spirit. And Lord, you're the one who can mend them all. Lord, the brokenhearted come to you, and their hearts can be mended. Lord, those that are sick can come to you and find healing because of your wounds. We are healed. Lord, we thank you that you're the one who can make us well and make us whole. We come to you in faith. And so, Lord, we say, increase our faith, Lord, that we might be able to do those things, that we might be able to worship you and honor you and glorify you, even in the dark places of our lives. Lord, we give this day to you. This day above all days is the day that you have made. And we will rejoice, and we will be glad in it. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. Let's read together responsibly. And make it sound like you're excited, all right? Christ the Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
You also should consider yourselves dead to the power of sin, and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Amen. Christ our Lord is risen from the dead.
He is risen indeed.
Let's sing together.
Jesus, he who on the cross
so many things undeserved and unearned, and yet because of your grace, Lord, you give them to us. Lord, you're better God than we could ever imagine. Lord, we can't even begin to speak your greatness and your goodness and your kindness toward us. Lord, every need that we have, you know about, and every need that we have, you've made preparation for. Lord, you provide everything that we need for this life and for the life that is to come. Lord, we lack nothing because you are our good shepherd.
God is troubling the waters this morning. Do you understand what I'm saying? God is troubling the waters this morning. God wants to do a mighty work in your life today. He wants to show you his power right now. He wants to show you his love right now. He wants you to act on the faith that you have right now to receive the wonders that he wants to give you today. He has shown me that there's several of you that he would love to grant the gift of healing right now. If you have faith to receive it, you could come forward right now and receive that gift of healing. Amen. Amen. The rest of you, just be in prayer and agreement with the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
This oil represents the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God.
Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
Who is our healer? The scripture refers to God as our healer.
Yes, God, thank you.
And Lord, I just trust your word right now. Lord, you know exactly what her needs are. You know what her health issues are. Lord, I pray for healing. Lord, I know that your power is greater than we can imagine, certainly greater than what her problem is. And so, Lord, we want to think this morning on the greatness of our God, on the power of our God, not on the problem that we have. Because whatever it is, you are greater. And we acknowledge that this morning, Lord. I lift before your throne of grace. We know, Lord, that every gift that we receive from you is a gift of grace. I pray, Lord, that you'd meet our need right now, right here, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Very brief text this morning. By the way, this morning, in this service, we're going to talk about the power of God. At 11 o'clock, we're going to talk about the victory of God. You might want to come back for that. But this is what the Word of God says. Not my word, God's word. 1 Corinthians 6:14, it says this, "By His power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and He will raise us also." Confession time. I talk a lot about baseball. I really enjoy baseball. I like watching it, and I used to love playing it. When I was in school, I spent hours upon hours with our son Ben when he was young, pitching to him and hitting him ground balls and hitting him fly balls, letting him pitch to me, which was bruising sometimes. I loved his curveball because I could get around on it. Couldn't get around on his fastball after a while. I was at every one of his games. I believe I can say that with absolute truth. And I went to most of his practices. I spent hours and hours talking about baseball. Well, here's the truth. I never was a very good player. Doesn't mean I didn't love the game. I just wasn't very good at it when I was 10 or 11 or 12 years old. Got a little better when I got older. But I never got really good. I hit my peak in church league softball. One season I hit over 600, batted over 600. That was a co-ed team. My secret was I learned to hit the ball kind of hard to right field, which is where they always put you had to play two women. They always put one of the women in right field and batted over 600 that season. The next season I thought, man, I'm the man. So I started going for the fences, and I batted about 110. That wasn't so good. But anyway, when it comes to baseball, I guess I'm one of those guys who talks a better game than he plays. You know what I mean? All right, that's my confession. But you know what? I know a lot of people whose Christianity is just like that. They've hung around with believers. And so they know the right words to say, but they don't really play the game very well. To be honest, most of them have never actually been in a game. They don't study the Bible. They don't pray with others. Maybe they don't even pray alone. They never talk about Jesus with their friends anyway, unless it's in a joke. And they wouldn't share their faith, even if they had some, which they don't. They aren't interested in hearing the truth or doing ministry, but they love to talk. And if you ask them, they'll say, "Sure, I'm a Christian." Well, church, I want you to know something. I want you to know that real Christianity is not like that. The life of a real Christian isn't about talk. The Scripture makes it very plain. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. This is what it says. "The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power." Do you know that the strongest, the most powerful organization on the face of this earth is the Church of Jesus Christ, is the people of God? We have within us the presence and the power of God, and He is almighty. That's the truth. That's the reality. That's what being a Christian is. Our God is real. Our God is alive, and our God is a God of power. The real Christian life is about spiritual power. The life of an authentic Christian is about living by, worshiping by, ministering in, praising in, and believing in the power of God. Our text this morning said this: by His power, God raised the Lord from the dead. And He will raise us also. When we're talking about the power of God, we're talking about something so mighty that it can speak to the dead and call it alive, and the dead will rise and live. Think for a moment about the power of creation. In Genesis 1, we read, God said, "Light be," and the light was. In Psalm 33, the psalmist reminds us, "The Lord merely spoke, and the heavens were created. He breathed the word, and the stars were born. Let the whole world fear the Lord, and let everyone stand in awe of Him. For when He spoke, the world began. It appeared at His command." In Romans 1:20, we read this. This is what Paul said. He said, "Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." Now, church, when you leave this place this morning, I want you to go with a sense and an understanding of the incredible, immeasurable, unstoppable, uncontainable power of God. I don't want anybody leaving here thinking, "Well, that was a nice talk." When you walk out of this sanctuary, I want you to be able to believe that God has the power to raise Jesus from the dead, and beyond that, that He has the power and the desire to raise you from whatever situation you're in. From whatever miry pit you've gotten yourself into. And ultimately, to raise you from the dead. I'll tell you what, if you came in here this morning and you're not born again, if you came in here this morning and you don't have the presence of God in your life, then you are dead. But God has the desire and the power to speak to your heart and say, live. And you know what? The life that is eternal will pour into your heart and you will live. And you'll be born again and you'll never die. Now that's what the Word of God says. That's just not what a theology book says. That's what God Himself said. Now let's think about the power of salvation. In Romans 1:16, Paul said this, and I'll echo it too. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is a really nice story. That's not what it said. It's a really nice story about Jesus. No, that's not what it said either. It said it's the power of God. You're going to hear that phrase a lot in the next few minutes. The gospel is the power of God put into words. And it has the power to change lives. To take things that are upside down and turn them right side up. To take things that are broken and put them back together again the way they were in the first place. To take tragedies and turn them into triumphs. That's the gospel. We talk about the tremendous power of the command of God in the act of creation. Now think about that same power applied to the act of salvation. It is almighty power and is focused on drawing and calling people from the dark into the light. Think about this. Is there anyone who is so evil, so perverted, so hateful that God can't save them if He wants to? God just goes, oh, I just can't do it. Oh, that Paul, that apostle Paul, he was a murderous scumbag who hated the gospel and persecuted the church, and he was a Pharisee. Even God can't save a rat who's that far gone. How long did it take? Bang. God just knocked him right off his horse. Sarah, does that ever happen to anybody today? Changed his life. The man who was most dedicated to the destruction of the church and stopping the spread of the gospel became the apostle to the Gentiles. He is the one who planted churches all through Asia and Macedonia and even all the way to Rome. He's the one who was himself persecuted for his proclamation of the gospel, but he never wavered. From that point on, that's a life that's turned right side up. And it wasn't because Paul chose it. It's because God chose Paul. That's the power of God in salvation. He wrote, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Not just the people that look good to you and me. Not just the people that feel good, but everyone who believes. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you came from. Doesn't even matter what you did. The gospel is powerful enough to save you. We all know people. They may be in our own families. They may be sitting in this room who seem to be hopeless cases, who are so far from God that no one wants to say their name in heaven in the same sentence. Well, that's enough baloney. Let's get to the truth. The truth is, there is no one who is so lost that he can't be found by God. There's no one who is so sinful that his sin can't be covered by the blood of Jesus. There's no one whose heart is so hard that it can't be touched and broken by the gospel of God. That is the power of God in salvation. The God who formed the man from the dirt and breathed life into him and made him a living being knows how to call him and how to save him. He also knows how to keep him safe. Think about the power of preservation. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5 says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth. He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by what? God's power. God's power. That's God's power, not just to save you, but to keep you. But Pastor, I'm just afraid I'll do something or say something wrong." You know, there are people that say, "Yeah, I'm a Christian." And they go around in the constant fear that they're going to do something or they're going to say something wrong. And God is going to be offended and say, "All right, you're out of here." You know what? You can't do anything ever that's going to shock or surprise God. You know why? God knows the end from the beginning. He knows your tomorrow. He knows exactly what you're going to do in an hour. So he's not going to be surprised when you do it. You're being kept by the same grace and the same power that enabled you to be saved. And that's the power of God, and it's almighty. In Titus 3, 4 and 5, the word says this. "When the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy." The mistake that a lot of people make is this. You know, they're afraid that they'll do something wrong. Well, let me tell you, Christian, let me tell you something. You haven't done anything right yet. If God had a list of things and said, "These are the things you have to do in order to be saved. Check the boxes off. You know, make sure you do every one of these." You haven't done any of them. You see, that's what the cross was all about. That's what this resurrection day is all about. Jesus came and did those things for you. They are done. He said, "It is finished. It is accomplished." And it is. You're saved by grace through faith, trusting that what Jesus did is sufficient. And it is, because God said so. And he proved it by raising him from the dead. Again, let's look to what the word says. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Who's going to come before God and say, "Oh, no, 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 you can't have that one. Do you see what he did? Just last Thursday. Did you see what he did?" That's not going to impress God very much. That's not going to impress the Lord Jesus who died for that sin very much, is it? Who is it that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died more than that, was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. If God is for you, if God the Father is for you, and God the Son, who died for you, is standing right there interceding for you, he's also on your side, who is there to be against you? The scripture goes on, and it's quite eloquent. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? There's a question for you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who's going to drive a wedge between you and the lover of your soul? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, all of the things that Paul had faced, he says, no. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now I want you to understand that these things are true. This is God's word. This is the truth. But I want you to understand that they're true not because of your strength or your faithfulness. If it depended on that, they wouldn't be true. It's not because of that. They're true because God Almighty has you in His hands and He will not let you go. Do you understand the difference? If it was us hanging on to God, just hanging on one more day, I'll just hang on one more day, we'd be in a bad position. But that's not where we are. We're in the hand of God, and He's got a hold of us, and He is almighty and strong, and He's not going to let you go. He's not willing to let you go. I'm going to say it one more time, just to make sure everybody gets it. Christian, you have been saved by God's grace and power, and you are kept by God's grace and power. If God hadn't put you on the path to salvation, you would still be condemned. And if you belong to Christ, you are on salvation's road because God wants you to be born again and saved and safe and eternally secure. Your assurance must not rest on anything that you bring to the table. Your skills or your knowledge or your charity or your good works. Your assurance must rest only on the power of God to work His will and fulfill His purpose. And He has called you and saved you, and nobody else has anything to say about it. I'm going to talk a little bit about the power of God in restoration. Revelation 21, it says this, He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He's talking about all of creation there. You know, the one who made the world has the power and the wisdom to repair it. This earth was created to be a perfect place for man to live, for us to live. And in the end, it will again be perfect. All the effects of man's sin and the scars of the rebellion against God will be gone, and paradise will be remade. Well, that's pie in the sky by and by when I die. That's in the future, right? But I'll tell you what, you don't have to wait until the end of the age to experience God's power of restoration. He can and will work restoration and renewal and repair in your heart today. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Now listen, church, you want proof of God's power? You want to see it? Well, first of all, give your heart to Christ and see what happens. And I'm not talking about walking down an aisle or repeating someone's prayer. That's talking a good game. I'm talking about giving your life, all of it, not holding anything back, giving your life to Christ. All your hurts, all your weaknesses, all those secret things that you think are secret, but they're not secret from God. all the things you're proud of, all the things you're ashamed of. Everything that you would put on the table and say, God, look at this. Your whole agenda for life. You take all of that, you give it to Christ, who's wiser and kinder and better and stronger and has a better plan. That's what I'm talking about. You give your life, you give your heart to Christ, and then see what happens. I guarantee you, if you'll do that, you'll see the power of God. I'm going to close by talking about the power of resurrection. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he said this, he breathed his last. This is the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. After everything that he had gone through, the beatings, the whippings, the tauntings, everything that had happened to him, being forced bloody and raw to carry his own cross. This is after he'd been hanging on that cross for hours. And he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. You know, Jesus could have called legions of angels at any time to come and save him from the cross and minister to his hurts and defend him from his enemies. That wasn't Jesus' purpose. That wasn't Jesus' plan. He came to suffer and to die in our place. Let me ask you a question. Do you think Jesus was afraid to die? Do you think he had any doubt that God the Father would be able to raise him from the dead? I want to tell you this morning that Jesus was not afraid to die. And he had no doubt that God the Father was able to raise him from the dead. Because more than anyone, he knew the power of God. There was no doubt in his mind. When he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He knew what was coming next. He knew what was going to happen 3 days later. Did he not already tell his disciples what was going to happen? Did he not say, this is what must happen to the Son of Man? He's going to be abused by the religious leaders. He's going to be put to death. And on the third day, he'll rise again. Did he tell his disciples that? He knew what was going to happen. There was no question in his mind. God the Father would raise him from the dead. And so he said, Father, I commit my spirit into your hands. I'm not going to be able to do anything about this myself, but I know that you can. Now, that's a powerful statement. And when I talk about giving your life to Christ, I'm talking about the same thing. I'm talking about having such a confidence in the power of God and in the good purposes of God that you say, I'm going to take my life, I'm going to put it in your hands. I'm going to entrust it to you because I know the power of God. That's where we need to be. Listen, a tomb carved into the earth, a hole dug in the ground, is no barrier to God. He created the earth with a word. A body lying cold and stiff without breath or heartbeat, that's not a problem to God. Do you understand that he created man that way in the beginning? He took the dirt of the earth, the dust of the earth, and he formed the man. He wasn't breathing. He wasn't warm. And God simply breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. How difficult is that for God? And so without hesitation, Jesus entrusted his spirit to the watchful, loving care of God. Now we've got to get serious, because this is where the rubber meets the road. Do you trust the power of God enough to approach that moment with faith and confidence? Because there's going to come a moment, there's going to come a time for every one of us when we're going to have certainty that we have drawn our last breath. Do we have enough confidence in the power of God our Father to say, Father, I'm going to entrust my spirit to you now? Because that is what faith in Christ is all about. Our text this morning says, by his power, God raised the Lord from the dead. And he will raise us also. That's a pretty plain, bold statement. But that's what God said. Earlier I said, when you walk out of this sanctuary, I want you to be able to believe. I want you to be able to believe that God had the power to raise Jesus from the dead. And beyond that, that he has the power and the desire to raise you from the dead. You know, our God is great, and our God is loving, and our God is faithful, and our God is almighty. I encourage you to commit your spirit to the hands of God right now. Don't wait. You can live the rest of your life in the assurance that God's power is at work in your life, even now. That's the power of God in the life of the Christian. That's what the Christian life is all about. Now, when we think about all of those things, when we think about the power of God, how great it is, and how it's manifest in the life of the believer, how difficult is it to believe that God can heal our infirmities? That God can take the things that are wrong in our physical body and correct them? How difficult is that to believe? I told you a couple weeks ago, reminded you that in the book of James, it says, is any one of you sick? Let him call upon the elders of the church to anoint him with oil and pray for him, and God will make you well. That's what the scripture says. Now, rarely do we do that. You believe in the power of God to heal whatever's wrong with you? You don't doubt it? You want to come and be healed? Well, come on up here. Anyone else? We got the time. Lord, we know there are no words that we can say that will bring healing. Lord, we don't have it within us to heal one another, except that we have the Holy Spirit of God in us. And so, Lord, because your word speaks of it, because your word promises it, because we're being faithful to what you have said, we know, Lord, that you do have the power. And we believe that you have the desire because you said to us, do this, and I will do that. If you will call upon the elders and they will anoint you with oil and pray over you, I will heal the sick, raise them up. And so, Lord, we believe your word. We know that it's the truth. And, Lord, this morning we're going to act on it. Lord, we're going to take those truths that we talk about and we're going to do them. Lord, we just pray this morning that those who have come forward, who've come forward for prayer and healing, Lord, that you would heal them. We ask you to do this in the power of Christ. Lord, I just ask that everything that's wrong, everything that's out of place, Lord, that everything that needs to be fixed would be fixed in their lives by your power. Lord, we believe in your power and your grace and your mercy and your compassion. We believe, Lord, in your word, the truth of it. We believe, Lord, that you are God and you are in control, that you are sovereign and you can do as you please. And so, Lord, we just ask you to be with these who have come before you in faith and meet their needs in the strong name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. We're going to stand and sing.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave
Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with you, remain with you all.